Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A week from today, opening day in Miami. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or hockey. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. It's the real opening day. The one where things actually open up. I know there's a lot more fuss and everything else over the home opener, and people will casually refer to the home opener as opening day, and I get that. It doesn't feel like baseball season in Pittsburgh until there's actual baseball in Pittsburgh, but I've always been real big on the whole actual opening day thing. And when this team goes into that opening day, they're going to be facing the Marlins lefty, Jesus Luzardo. And that means that any and all predictions about the opening day lineup and whether or not there's ceremony attached to it, you can forget about them. This manager, Derek Shelton, is all about left-right with very, very few exceptions. And my belief in going into that game is that you're going to see the Pirates try as hard as they can to make for some uncomfortable matchups with Luzardo. Now, Luzardo's splits aren't all that dramatic. Righties hit 231 off of him, lefties hit 206. So he's pretty solid when it comes to both sides. But you're still going to see it. So I'm going to try to make an attempt here at feeling out what the lineup might be. I don't want to say predicting because that's all, you know, you were wrong. And I don't really care for that kind of thing. But here's what I've got. I've got O'Neill Cruz hitting leadoff. Yes, he's lefty. And no, it doesn't matter. Because there's no way after the year that that kid just endured that he's not going to be in his trademark spot, his preferred spot in the lineup. So you're going to see him first. You're going to see Brian Reynolds batting second. Shelton and the coaches want to see Reynolds really set himself in that Joey Votto spot, that spot that all of the advanced analysis tells you is where you should have your best hitter. He should be this team's best hitter. He absolutely should be this team's most consistent hitter. Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to bat third. So I think we've got 1, 2, and 3 pretty much set. And I imagine that we can agree on that, right? Hayes just continuing to do this spring what he did over the final 2 months of last season, and it's probably an underappreciated aspect of what's happened over the past month with this team. Hayes hitting like that is, man, you just can't say enough about its importance moving forward. All right, we got the first three, right? Okay. Cleanup. No idea But I got to tell you, it's not going to be who or what you would think. Because Rowdy Tellez, who maybe profiles certainly via the old school characterization of what a cleanup hitter is, he's that guy, and he's going to get a lot of at-bats out of the number four spot. But he is not someone who hits lefties all that well. So I believe this is going to be one of those days that he gets off in favor of Connor Joe. Connor Joe, of course, really does well against lefties. And Joe has been in the cleanup spot. I know he doesn't profile, again, to use that term, but I think you might see Joe at cleanup in this one. From there, I've got Andrew McCutchen at number five. And the reason for that is that Kutch is still going to get you your most professional at-bats. He just will. He's going to find a way to battle to get on base. And maybe more relevant to my expecting this, Shelton's had him around the number five spot pretty much all spring. So I think that's kind of the way they're thinking of Kutch. At this phase of his career, you have him at the top of the order or even at leadoff. He's not the guy that he was in terms of, you know, raw speed or, for that matter, durability. Five is nice. Five is good. In the sixth spot, you're about to find out that things are getting a little bit complicated. I've got Edward Olivares. Well, yeah, I do. Because, see, this is where you would be normally talking about Jack Suwinski. And I don't want Jack going out there against a lefty on opening day. I don't want Jack going out there against a lefty, like, at all. But you're going to have to do that at some point. I just don't know that you need to do it in the opener when you have a guy that you've brought in to be an outfielder or certainly someone to compete for outfield plate appearances in Olivares. Olivares has decent splits. They're not dramatic, but he's going to do better against lefties than he will against righties. Let Jack work his way into the lineup the following day. Unless, of course, again, you get caught up in the magnitude of the moment or whatever. I just don't think you're going to see Shelton do that. He hasn't done that in his previous openers. So where are we now? That's six? All right. I've got seven, eight, and nine. I'm going to do these backward. Nine, I've got Michael A. Taylor, because I think he's just going to end up becoming a constant presence there because he's going to catch everything in center field. He's not going to hit much. Might as well make him comfortable somewhere. Hope that he gets on base for Cruz so that Cruz doesn't just hit a bunch of solo home runs this season. From nine, I've got seven and eight left. And I'm going to say seven will be Henry Davis if he makes the team. Can't believe we're still talking about this, but it hasn't been made official by anyone. Now, seven's nice. He's having a great spring. He's still a kid. You want him to kind of earn his way up that lineup as opposed to what was being done last year when he was instantly in there at cleanup and whatever. Get him comfortable. Get him confident. If it's not Henry, yeah, I honestly don't even really care. I mean, it's going to be, you know, some Yasmani Grandal, Jason DeLay, whatever, they're going to be eight or nine. But let's say that it's Henry. Henry's going to be seven. And then for eight, you've got the second base position left. And, man, there's a part of me that really likes Leover Peguero's ceiling. There's a part of me that really likes Jared Triolo's floor. If you could combine them into a single player, you'd really have something. As it is, I kind of want to win this game if I'm Shelton. You know, I want to have a good feeling about this team. I want them to start, at least the guys who were here last year, thinking about the way last April went. So I want a sure thing. I'm going to go with Triolo. I'm going to go with someone who's probably safer and smarter as a selection. So what do you think? Yeah? Did I get it? No? Who did I leave out? You don't like the right fielder? Yeah, I can sense that you didn't like the right fielder. See, we have like this wavelength thing going here. Like, you're like, who's Edward Olivares and why should I care about him? Maybe Jack will get in. Maybe Shelton will want Jack to feel like, hey, I've got a big responsibility on this team, and I've just had center field taken away from me, so I don't want to have my spot in the opening day lineup taken away from me. I can't rule that out. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800-degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park. Today's J1Q comes from Phil. Good one here. It says, Jared Triolo hasn't played a single game this spring at first base. It sure seems like he's just not in the plans there, at least at this point. Any idea why? Are the Pirates that confident in Rowdy Tellez bouncing back? I think you might be looking at Triolo a little too much and not enough at Connor Joe. Joe's been told, and this is something that came up a couple of weeks ago in Bradenton, Joe's been told that he's not necessarily a bench guy. Joe could slot in there at first base. He plays a pretty decent first base, I should add. Joe could slot in right field, get you a right-handed presence out there as well. So I wouldn't be thinking about it as Tellez getting into some kind of platoon with Triolo or someone else. I would think this is way more about getting Joe involved. And Joe is an interesting case. I know he's, you know, right at 30 years old, and you don't tend to view guys like that as having upside, but Joe is also an extremely late bloomer who will also get you, I'm going to use this term again as I did earlier in referencing Kutch, professional at-bats. Now, some of those at-bats, I'll admit, drive me nuts because he is patient to the extreme. Like, he's Daniel Vogelbach-level patient. He'll watch 100 pitches go by until he gets exactly the one he feels that he can not just make contact with, but do damage to. And you can never have enough of that in your lineup. You can never have enough guys eating up pitches, frustrating the opponents, getting on base. Joe can do all of that. And they are not, including to his face, ruling out that he'll be out there a lot. They're not referring to him as a bench player. They're not telling him he's a bench player. I'm glad you brought this up because I haven't thought to do it myself, even though I had this talk with Joe when I was down in Bradenton a couple of weeks ago. I expect you're going to see him on the field more often than not. And by that, I'm talking about 350, 400 plate appearances. That's a regular contributor to your cause. I appreciate the question. Really good one. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow.